Okay, we are back in Pirkei Avos. We are on Perek Revi'i, the fourth Perek, Yudalet, according to how it's cut up in this Rabbeinu Yonah version that we have here, okay? It's a short one, it's a relatively short Perush, but it's fun, and it teaches us something, as always, and we have some good back-and-forth kind of learning, principles of learning, so we're going to enjoy ourselves here. Okay, ready? Ready? Let's go. Okay, Rabbi Yanai Omer, Rabbi Yanai says, Ein biyadinu, it is not in our hands. Lo mishalvas harasha'im, neither from the tranquility of the wicked, v'af lo miyisurei hatzadikim, and not either from the turmoil of the righteous. That's it. Ein biyadinu, lo mishalvas harasha'im, v'af lo miyisurei hatzadikim. It is not in our hands, neither the tranquility, meaning the good, right? The tranquility is the right word, right? Like the peace, the serenity of the wicked, nor the turmoil of the righteous. Neither the tranquility of the rich, of the wicked, nor the turmoil of the righteous. So, what does this mean? What do you think, if you had to wager what pshat is here, what would you say that it is? What does he mean? Ein biyadinu lo mishalvas harashayim v'af lo miyisurei hatzadikim. Ayelet Shachar, welcome.
Hi.
Hello, so nice to see you. We are doing Yudalet, Rabbi Yanai Omer. We'll say it again. Rabbi Yanai says, Ein biyadinu, it is not in our hands. Lo mishalvas harashayim, not from the tranquility of the wicked, v'af lo miyisurei hatzadikim, neither the turmoil of the righteous. If you had to say what, if you had to guess what pshat is, what would you say the pshat is here? Come on, nobody. What does it mean? Ein biyadinu, right? That I just gave it away. What is it going to hinge on, right? What is the way that we translate this according to pshat? Which piece of this Mishnah is it going to hinge on? How we translate what? How we think of the concept of what, of which words here? Ein biyadinu, get it short. Ein biyadinu, lo mishalvas harashayim v'af lo miyisurei hatzadikim. What's it going to hinge on? Ein biyadinu, right? Ein biyadinu, it is not in our hands. Well, again, what's the pshat of ein biyadinu, it's not in our hand? What would you think the pshat is? I don't know. Maybe I just knew the translation of this going on. I don't know. Maybe the only reason I think that I knew it, the reason that I thought that what I thought it was saying was pshat was because I had read it before, right? But it's not in our hands, not the tranquility of the wicked or the turmoil of the righteous. What does it mean it's not in our hands? Okay, I'll tell you what I thought the pshat was, because I'm getting crickets over here, right? I thought the pshat was like, we can't explain it. Ein biyadinu, it's not in our hands to explain, basically, right? Like, what's in brackets over there, if you were translating in English? It's not in our hands, in brackets, to explain. It's not up to us. What do you mean it's not up to us, Yerwing, who just wrote that in? What do you mean it's not up to us? Not up to us what? Meaning we don't determine, like, what's the heaven? You know, we're the ones who make... What do you mean, Shira?
Yeah, like, we're not the ones that determine it, meaning, like, whether how the tzaddikim are, the rishayim are, like, it's not up to us what constitutes what goes on. That's kind of how I...
Good, but what would the havamina be? Meaning, like, why would you think that it would be up to you? Who would think that it would be up to them?
Because I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm making this up, that we say, like, our actions determine things in this world and in the next world, and they have weight. So that's kind of what I was thinking, that the weight of what we do... We could think like, oh, that caused that or this to that, but it's not really that way.
Good. Interesting. Okay, good. I like what you're saying. You're saying it's basically like, according to you, right, the moral of the Mishnah is like in terms of your own control. Right? Ein biyadinu, it's not in our hands. We're not the ones who control whether or not good things happen or bad things happen. You know, in other words, whose hands is it in? Hashem's, right? You're not exactly. Yes, exactly, Shira. Thank you for your chat there. Okay, good. So that's actually the divrei, the second parish of Rashi. You were definitely mishaving to it. Okay, so we're gonna do Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah gives two explanations. Okay, he gives one explanation, which he doesn't tell you is the first, but then he tells you a second one. He says yesh mefarshim. So anytime that a parish gives two explanations, why are they giving two? Why do they give two? Why does Rabbeinu Yonah sometimes only give one, and sometimes give one and then say V'yesh Meforash, and Rashi also? Right? You see this in Torah for sure, Rashi's Perash on Torah. He says one thing, and here he does it too, Rashi. And Rabbi Vajra Batanur also does it, right? They give one, and then they say, Yesh Mefarshim, there are other people who give this other explanation. Why do they sometimes say that? Is this the only time that Rabbeinu Yonah or Rashi knows that someone else gives another explanation? Right? Why would sometimes he bring in another explanation?
They're not satisfied with the first one.
Good, Rachel, because they're not satisfied with the first one. But then why don't they just bring the second one?
Because there's still some truth to the first one, but it doesn't fully explain it.
Good. Good, right? Meaning because there's still something that is compelling about the first one, and also there's some deficiency, so to speak, in the second one, right? They can neither only bring the first one, nor only bring the second one. Rachel, in that situation, which one do they feel is more pshat, the first one or the second one?
I think the first.
Good, the first, right? But they bring the first one first because it's first because it seems like the most pshat. But there's something missing, or they feel, again, that there's something missing from that explanation of the pshat, so they bring a second explanation. But there's something missing from the second explanation. Otherwise, they would have only brought the second explanation and not brought the first one at all, right? So we have, again, a situation like that here, okay? Listen to Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, he's going to give two. I'm going to read through both of them, and you're going to tell me which one is clearer for you according to what you would have thought the pshat was. Okay? Here we go. Tzadikim, what Mishnah are we in? We're in Yudalid according to the way that it's split up in this one. In Rebbe Hirsch, it's already 19, so it just depends what the split up is, but it's somewhere around those. Somewhere between 14 and 19. Okay. Tzadikim don't have the same, serenity and security and wealth and all the needs of this world in the same way that wicked people do. Af lo mi yisurei ha-tzadikim, and also neither do we have from the turmoil of the tzadikim. Yisurim shel ahava shel tzadikim, this yisurim shel ahava concept that tzadikim have, shehim al derech shelo yisbat lumi limudet Torah. That, again, they have it for a specific reason, meaning like they have yisurim that benefit their avodas Hashem. We also don't have that. Okay, that's the end of his first explanation. V'yesh mefarashim, and now he gives a yesh mefarashim. And there are those who say, even though we know in some capacity that this is justice, Rasha v'tovlo v'tzadik v'ralo, again, we have these kinds of phrases in Nevi'im, we have these kinds of phrases in Chazal, mikol makom ein anu masigim l'tam hadavar. This is what I thought pshat was, but again, it could be that I was biased from years of reading English translations of it. Mikol makom ein lanu masigim l'tam hadavar. We don't know why. What does it mean? Ein biyadinu lo mishalvas harashayim v'af lo misuri hatzadikim. It means that, like, it's not up to us to explain it. We can't explain these things. Ein biyadinu. It's not in our hands, again, in brackets, to explain what goes on. Tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo. Why do bad things happen to good people? We can't explain that. Even though we know that what v'hu mina devarim ha'amitim she'ein yediyasinu meseges. We understand that it's somehow it's MS. We understand that somehow it's cosmic justice, but we also understand that we don't understand it. Okay, and then he brings a few quotes from Yirmiyahu, Shanachna Yodim, the MS, Ki Yish Tam Badavar. I've had like a head cold for a while, so I'm going to have a cough. Don't worry, I'm not going to get you sick with corona over the screen. Ki Yish Tam Badavar, we know that there is a reason for it. V'ein Anu Masigim Adas, so, but we can't understand it. So, If I said, what's Rabbeinu Yonah's first pshat, and what's Rabbeinu Yonah's second pshat, which one do you understand what he's saying? Which one is more clear? Give me a finger, or whatever. First pshat or second pshat? His second pshat is much more clear, right? His second pshat is, what's the pshat of this? It's not in our hands to explain it. We can't explain it. His first pshat, I don't know what he's saying. It took me like 3 or 4 times reading it over. What is he saying? His first pshat has to be different, saying something different than the second pshat, right? Second pshat, I'm saying, it's not in our hands to explain it. His first pshat, what is he saying? What's another way to explain Ein Biyadinu? Not that we can't explain it, but something else. Ein Biyadinu lo mishalvas harashayim v'af lo mi'asir ha'tzadikim. And all Rabbeinu Yonah seems to do is explain what that means. So let me read it again, okay? Let's try to understand his first pshat. We get the second pshat. And again, I think that's probably like the most pshat. But here, let's do it this way. The second pshat, what's the deficiency there that Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't bring it? In biyadinu, lo mishal v'sarashayim v'af lo miyitziri atzidikim. We can't explain it. It's not in our hands to explain it. What's the deficiency in that pshat? Why does Rabbeinu Yonah not just bring that? Do you think? Again, I don't know. I mean, he didn't tell me. But if you had to reason it through, why didn't Rabbeinu Yonah just bring that pshat?
Maybe the lashon is interesting.
Good. Why?
Like, why would we use the term dadinu?
Good. Keep going. You sound like you have something else to say.
No, meaning I would just go further with that. Like, if we want to say we don't understand, so we'd use maybe like a word that connotes like intellectual understanding or emotional understanding, but not yadinu.
Good. Good. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. I'm on the same page as you, right? That's what I think also. Meaning, if I'm explaining it in English, what do I have to do? I have to add those words in brackets, right? It's not in our hands in brackets to explain why the Rashayim get good, and the Tzadikim get bad. Right? So again, since you have to add those words, Rabbeinu Yonah, I think, feels like it's not so much pshat. Again, Rashi brings that as one of his pshats, and also brings another one, and Avadja Bar Tanura brings that as one of his pshats, and also brings another one. It's interesting, because Rashi and Avadja Bar Tanura bring that first, and then they bring another pshat as the second. Rabbeinu Yonah switches that order, right? So again, right, something about the Ein Biyadinu, Rabbeinu Yonah feels like there's something that's more pshat than that. What? How would you have to translate in biyadinu in a way that's more pshat than we can't explain it? What is in biyadinu in a way that's more pshat? Hello, Bacheva. Connecting to audio. Ayelet. Hello, Bacheva. Go ahead.
Maybe it's on the capacity to change something, like an action that we can change Rasham or Tzadikim's outcome.
So I think that's also, meaning that's also adding something in parentheses, right? I think that's also adding, like, to change something. Or Shira was basically saying also the same kind of theme, right? To control something. It's not in our hands to control it. It's not in our hands to change it. I think Rabbeinu Yonah's most pshat, which is why he only gives the translation, and we'll go back into it, and again, it's going to go somewhere, don't worry. We're not just, like, hawking this in terms of, like, limud, which is also good, but it's going somewhere, right? Rabbeinu Yonah's in biyadinu means, like, we don't have it. That's all it means. We don't have it. So that's Rabbeinu Yonah's pshat, is that we don't have in our hands, meaning we don't own it, we don't experience it, it's not found with us. It is neither found with us, so to speak, right? Ein biyadinu, it's not in our hands. Not the tranquility of the Rashayim, nor the Yisurim of the Tzadikim. And again, it seems to me that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. Let's go back in and read it again. Again, it's first pshat. Ein biyadinu lo mishal v'sarashayim. She'ein letzadikim. So again, this is the only piece where he adds the word tzadikim, which Rabbi Yonah doesn't say. He doesn't say ein letzadikim. He says ein biyadinu. It's not in our hands. Fine. Ein letzadikim hashkein uvetach ba'usher v'kol tzerchei olam kemo she'yesh l'rashayim. Ein biyadinu lo mishal v'sarashayim. Right? We, as tzadikim slash, or at least as not rashayim, we don't have the privilege in this world that the rashayim have. V'af lo miyisuri ha-tzadikim. Yisurim shel av ha-shel tzadikim shehim al derech shel lo yizbat l'milim ha-Torah. We also don't have in our hands, it's not found in us, it's not our experience of the world, to have the yisurim of tzadikim. That, again, that's like, that contributes to their olam haba. I mean, that they're, that contributes to their avodas Hashem. So what's the deficiency in this? Say it. You're all thinking it, you just don't know that you're thinking it. What's the deficiency in this pshat? We neither have, you know, in our hands, we neither have the harshness, the pleasantness of the life of a wicked, or the pleasant, or the toughness with a point of the life of the righteous. What's the problem with that pshat? What's the deficiency?
If he's addressing all of Klal Yisrael, there are going to be tzaddikim who read this, that does apply to now.
Okay, maybe. I think he's actually assuming that Rabbi Yonah is a tzaddik addressing tzaddikim, right? Because Rabbeinu Yonah translates Ein biyadinu, it's not in our hands, as Ein letzaddikim, which is interesting. Baruch Cohen, welcome. Right? So he does translate that as if it's tzaddikim. I think the deficiency is that it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't really have... What's the muster point? That's what he's... I think that's what he's struggling with that one. Right? He's like, Ein biyadinu lo mishal v'sarashayim v'af lo miyisuri atzadikim. Okay, it's pshat, it's base level pshat, but it doesn't really have like a moral thrust behind it at all. He kind of gets stuck. And we're going to see Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu Bartanura, that's what we're doing next, is going to take that and make it, give it a moral point, which I think Rabbeinu would have been really happy with. Okay, but I think that that's the deficiency of the second, of the first one, is like, okay, it's super pshat, but like, it's a little bit depressing, and like, what's, where does it go? We don't experience this, but we also don't experience this. Okay, but what next? Right? Versus saying his second pshat. That we can't explain it. That has a moral point, right? That's saying to you, stop. You know, there's a burden of the reality that you encounter in your life. That you see, Tzadik Varalo, Rosh of Atovlo. Again, these are some of the most famous questions of any religious sect, and for sure of you know, of Torah. And we see Yirmiyahu struggling with it. That he quotes Rabbi Yona quotes, right? And he's saying, "Ein bi'adenu." It's not. It's we know that it's a truth that we believe and that we cannot understand, right? That has a moral thrust behind it. Okay, so we're going to go to Rabbi Abaja Bartanura, which you're going to see. Rabbi Abaja Bartanura is going to give the same two shots, basically, as Rabbeinu Yonah. He's going to flip them, which one he brings first. And you're going to see he's going to take exactly what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying and sharpen it in a way that it's like a beautiful muster point. And again, I think Rabbeinu Yonah and Rabbi Abaja Bartanura are like hawking this Mishnah in Shemayim, and I think Rabbeinu Yonah would like this, would like the way that Rabbi Abaja Bartanura puts it. Okay, so let's go there. Ein bi'adenu, it's in the back. If you have the thing that I have, in the back is Rabbi Abaja Bartanura. Which apparently my husband says that I sound like I don't know how to learn Gemara because they call him the Bartanura and I'm calling him a Ravarja Bartanura, so I sound like a total doofbomb. Okay, he doesn't say that. I said that. Okay, Ein Biadinu, Kamo Lava Lo Heve Biad. Okay, Klomar. Here's his first pshat. Ein Hadavar Hazay Yadua Lanu. We don't understand it, right? It's not known to us. It's not understood to us. Madua derech l'shayin tzalicha. Why the ways of the tzadikim are so successful? Ubipneb ma tzadikim medukayim biyisurim. And why it is that the tzaddikim, the righteous, are weighed down by their, turmoil, by yisurim. Perish acher. And again, he also brings another perish we can say for the same reason, right? The problem with the first one is that it's like this idiomatic translation of Ein Biadenu. Is there a way to translate this without making Ein Biadenu idiomatic? Okay, perish acher. Ein lanu bizman hagolos. Right now, in the time of Golas, I meant to look up who Rabbi Yanai was. He was I don't think he was the first generation after the Korban, but he might have been the next generation after the Korban, which again would make it like, you know, his statements about Golas like a little bit poignant, more poignant than our statements about Golas. Okay, Ein lanu bizman hagolas lo mishalva v'hashkeit sharagil haKadosh Baruch Hu laseis l'rashayim. Now that we're in Golas, we have no shaychus anymore to being rashayim, to being treated like rashayim, basically. Right now that we're in Golas, Ein lanu. We don't have the tranquility that Hashem usually gives to Rishayim. Again, in a way to like punish them in this world and take away their vote of Hashem. We don't have any shaykhs to that now that we're in Galus. And we also, now that we're in Galus, we don't have any more like the shaykhs to the special, you know, experience of tzaddikim that they're going to get yisurim in order to help their votos Hashem. Shein yisurim shel ava, shein behem bitul Torah, again, so, etc. Klomar, yatzanu michlal rishayim. Here in Golos, we're not rishayim. Once we're in Golos, we've officially become expatriates of the rishayim camp. We cannot be rishayim anymore. Shein lenu ashalva sheyesh rishayim. Because our lives are officially difficult. Because we're in Golos. And therefore, it can't be that we're Rishayim. Because we're never going to be treated like Rishayim do with all the goodness that they get from Hashem. But we also, there's a certain level, there's a certain echelon of Avodah Hashem that we're never going to reach in Golos either. Now, we don't get Yisurim Shel Ahava like Yisurim Tzadikim. My husband one time had a friend who like went through a difficult time, and he said that he was with his Rebbe, and he tried to figure out, you know, why it happened this time. And they went through all the different pieces, and they like basically like settled that like it must have been Yisurim Shel Ahava. And my husband like rolled his eyes like very dramatically, like, you kidding me? Like, you couldn't think of anything that you had to work on other than like it was Yisurim Shel Ahava, right? Like, and that's what Rav Noah Raya is saying according to Rav Avadja Bartanura. You know, in Golas, that's never the explanation of what you're going through, right? There's always going to be some reason that you're going through what you're going through that you could think of and improve in your ways. And at the same time, don't worry that you're Russia. Right? I think that like it's such a different, it's the same Rabbeinu Yonah, right? Ein biadenu. Lo mishal v'sarashayim v'af lo mi'isir ha'tzadikim. It's not in our hands. It's not part of our experience of reality. We aren't people who get shal v'sarashayim, and we're also not people who get yisir ha'tzadikim. We're somewhere in the middle. Right? According to Rav Avraham Batanura, what's the nafkamina? Like, what's the moral point of this Mishnah? Us, once we're in Golas again, in the experience that we have ourselves of our life, how do we look at ourselves? How do we look at our own worth? You look at your own worth that you're neither a Rasha nor a Tzaddik. Right? You look at your own worth that you officially, the way that we should think of ourselves is that we're always officially Beinonim. You don't have to worry that you're a Rasha. You're in Golas, you're not a Rasha. Hashem, like, right? I remember I had one, one of my friend's moms actually was talking about, like, you know, when people were an Apikoris or said or were classified as an Apikoris in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, even the second Beis HaMikdash was like a completely different thing than people who are Apikorisim now. Anyone who you think is an Apikoris now or thinks that they're an Apikoris, they're not. They're just like a Tinok Shenishba. They're just like unfortunate, like, you know, like, what's it called? Like, subject of the times. They're not a real Apikoris, right? You can't be a real Rasha in Golas. But also, yeah, it's hard to be a real Tzaddik in Golas. Okay? So again, I think that takes Rabbeinu Yonah's sort of super shot and gives it that moral thrust that he I think felt was lacking, which is why he, again, I have no idea if we're real, but that's my assumption, okay? Once we're perishing the Mishnah like this, again, Rav Hirsch always does this. It's just like, it's incredible again and again and again and again. Every time I read Rav Hirsch, having read Rabbeinu Yonah and tried to figure it out and tried to figure out the other Mefarshim also, some of which, you know, we learn, some of which we don't necessarily learn. Like, Rav Hirsch always takes it in like a little bit of a different place that opens up the Mishnah and takes up these like hidden pieces and brings them to light. So according to the Mishnah, we're still missing something in the Mishnah, just in the Lashon of the Mishnah, that I've glossed over, and so I have unfortunately biased you to gloss over again and again. But there are two grammatical issues with this Mishnah, and not one. Right? The first grammatical issue that we have to explain is, what does it mean, Ein Biyadenu? Which is an idiom, right? It has to mean something else. What does it mean, Ein Biyadenu? It's not literal. It has to be idiomatic. It has to be metaphoric. What's the most pshat way of the metaphor? That's what everyone else is arguing here. Rav Hirsch points out, subtly, that there's another issue with this Mishnah. Another grammatical issue with this Mishnah that we have not yet covered. What is it? Okay, let's read the Mishnah again. Ein biyadinu. Lo mishalvas harashayim, v'af lo miyisuri hasadikim. So I, you know, manipulatively, because I like being a little bit of a Slytherin and a little bit of Gryffindor and Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw all together, right? I translated this, I glossed over this. And so do many translations, including this one from Hirsch. Nothing is in our hands. We can explain neither the prosperity of the lawless nor the sufferings of the righteous. That's how I translated it, right? Nothing is in our... Okay, Ein Biyadenu. Lo... So again, we can explain also, interestingly, they put in brackets literally in this translation, okay? Rabbi Yonah said, nothing's in our hands, neither the prosperity of the lawless, nor the suffering of the righteous. But listen to it in Hebrew. Ein biyadenu. Lo mishalvas harashayim, v'af lo miyisuri hatzadikim. What's the grammatical piece of this that we also need to explain, if we're going to do a good job understanding this Mishnah in its fullness? Ein biyadenu, lo mishalvas harashayim, v'af lo miyisuri hatzadikim. This English translation is not correct. Nothing is in our hands, neither the prosperity of the lawless, nor the suffering of the righteous. Which part is off? Which part am I glossing over?
The mishalvas, the mem?
Don't think so. I don't think so.
You know the word
low,
right? Just say,
Shalva Sarashayim,
Va'af Lo Mi Yisuri
Hatzadikim. Which word don't you need?
If you say In Biadino and then you say low.
Okay, good. Interestingly, it's a double negative, but we see that like relatively. I think that's the way In Biadino Lo Mi Shalva Sarashayim. If you're going to say neither nor in Hebrew, you say low velo, right? You'd have to do both of them. But which word is superfluous, Ayelet, according to how we're translating it? There's one word that does not belong here, and Parish hinges on that. Ein biyadenu lo mishalvas harashayim v'af lo miyisuri hatzadikim. This is how the English translation should read if I'm doing it literally. It is not in our hands, not from the tranquility, the prosperity of the wicked, and not even, the tranquility of the sufferings of the righteous. Which Hebrew word is superfluous? Extra, so to speak. Af. Af means even, right? It doesn't just say neither nor. It says neither, not even, or. What does the not even add? It adds something very, very, we can't gloss over it if we're taking the Mishnah seriously. It doesn't say, that would have been neither nor. It doesn't say that. And not even the Yisurim of Tzadikim. What's the Havamina of saying not even? I can't explain this, I can't explain A, and I can't even explain B. What does it mean to say I can't explain A and I can't explain B? I can't explain why Shira has brown hair and I can't explain why Yelit has brown hair. I can't explain it. I can't explain why Shira has brown hair and I can't even explain why Yelit has brown hair. What's the difference of saying something, 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 even something? Which one would you think that I would be able to explain?
The second one?
The second one, right? I can't explain why Shira has brown hair and I can't even explain why Yelit has brown hair. Okay, so the Havamina there is that what I thought I would have been able to explain is why Yelit has brown hair. Listen, I can't explain why Shira has brown hair. Why can't I even explain why Yelit has brown hair? Right? We can't explain in our hands. It's not in our hands to explain the shalva of the Rishayim, and we can't even explain the suffering of the righteous. How can you make that shtim? Meaning, where do you think Rav Hirsch is going to go here? I don't know if I would have been able to figure it out without reading Rav Hirsch. So, like, not a huge burden here, right? But try. What is it? Where is he going to go? Again, how is he going to be different from Rabbi Yonah and Rav Avadya bar Tanura by saying, I can't explain the tranquility of the evil, and I can't even explain the suffering of the righteous? Why would he think that you could explain the suffering of the righteous? Why is it easier to explain the suffering of the righteous than it is to explain the tranquility of the Rishayim? And again, that's where he's going to say a Rav Avadya bar Tanura, but a little different. I mean, reversed.
I feel like with the suffering of the righteous, you could almost be like, okay, like, Hashem has his reasons almost. Of like, this is for his own good, almost in a way, but I don't know.
Good, so you're being very frum, which I appreciate, because I always assume that it's honest in other people. I'm going to tell you what happens with me, okay? With me, I actually, like, I think that if I look at reality, I'm much more bothered when bad things happen to good people than when good things happen to bad people. Maybe I just don't know enough bad people. I don't know. But, like, I think that for the most part, when we tend to ask the question, like, if you think about the last time that you were bothered by Tzadik Varalo, Rasha Vitovlo, right? You were bothered in cosmic justice. Like, how is that fair? Right? Usually our questions of how is that fair come when we see bad things happening to good people. So it's a little interesting that here it's like, V'af lo mi Yisuriya Tzadikim. So Rabbi Yonah explains it actually in a very, like, simple way, which none of us would dare to do, because, again, we all try to be, like, basically from good people. But he says, listen, if you're working basically on, like, a superhuman level, it's much easier, so to speak, if you are obsessed with cosmic justice. It would be a lot easier for you to explain away the bad things that happen to good people. Because all you have to say is, well, sure, I think they're a good person, but who knows what their private life is like? You ever hear people say that? I don't know what happens behind their doors. They look like a really happy couple, but who knows what happens behind doors, right? We say that all the time. They look like they're good parents. They look like they're a happy family, but who knows what happens behind doors, behind closed doors, right? That's a phrase that we say when what we're trying to say is, well, people might look nice, but who knows what they're really like, in their bedroom late at night, in their souls, right? So we do also sort of do that. But he's saying, listen, if you're obsessed with cosmic justice, it's much easier to say that. Why is that good person getting bad? Because really, he looks like a good person, but now I could be suspicious of him. He probably isn't. So God knows that he's in his soul or in his home or behind closed doors. He's not really a good person, and that's why he's getting all this bad stuff. It's much harder to say that when a Russia gets good stuff, right? This person who is very blatantly, publicly evil and who gets all this good stuff and is wealthy and powerful and blah, blah, blah. It's very hard to be like, oh, he's actually like a really, really big tzaddik. So that's what Rabbi Yonah says. So listen, you can't explain this nor that, okay? And again, here, listen to him say it with, again, his moral point. What's the point? What's the point of all this? To determine, and here he's going to say it. He's going to start with his thesis statement. To determine the relationship between the visible fate of a man and his moral worthiness or lack thereof is utterly beyond our power. Okay? So again, this is what he's saying. Rabbi Yonah's actual point is, we have no shaychus to the correlation between who a person is, his inherent moral worth and moral value and his standing in God's eyes, and what we see of his life. To us, those two things have nothing to do with each other, and it's very important that we realize it. To determine the relationship between the visible fate of man, right, what happens to him, and his moral worthiness or lack thereof, who he really is, what he's worth, is utterly beyond our power. It is not only the prosperity of the wicked that so frequently confronts us with an enigma. The fact that honest men should suffer seems just as perplexing, even though we believe that it is easier to assert that actually a person thus afflicted is wicked than to concede that he is good. Right? It's much easier to say, okay, well, this tzaddik must actually be wicked, and that's why he's getting bad stuff. The evil that a man does is never done under false pretenses, but the good that he does may well be motivated by any number of considerations unknown to us, which are ignoble and thus cancel whatever value the supposed good might otherwise have had. However, we do not have sufficient insight either to determine a person's moral worth or worthlessness, or to judge whether that which befalls him is indeed a blessing or calamity. Right? That's not in our hands. What's not in our hands? We can't say whether or not a person's fate is correlated with his worthiness or not, or if it is or if it isn't, or what's happening to him is a blessing or it's a curse. We don't just stay out of it. Therefore, it behooves us to abstain from passing judgment in either case, and not to permit our own short-sighted view of the events we witness to influence our own decisions. Stay out of it. Rabbi Vajra Bachanura was saying it about ourselves, right? It's a statement about ourselves. We ourselves, we don't hold ourselves to be Rishayim, and we don't hold ourselves to be Tzaddikim. Again, in this fate that we're in, we're neither Rishayim nor are we Tzaddikim. We consider ourselves Benonim. Rav Hirsch is saying that about other people. You stay out of the judgments of other people. And that he gets, again, from that af. He's perished that word af that no one else is. Af lo miyisurei Tzaddikim. Don't be the purveyor of cosmic justice. Shira, it's related to what you said in the beginning, right? It's not in your hands to control other people, nor to determine whether or not what people are going through is related to their cosmic worth, is not related to their cosmic worth. If it matches, if it doesn't match, ain't be a dinu. It's not in our hands. And again, I think this is like particularly relevant. I was thinking about this specifically at this time of year because it kind of like irks me every Yomim Noraim, because Yomim Noraim is all about this kind of like faith in the cosmic justice of Hashem, right? It's very this Rabbi Yonai. Like, it's not in our hands. It's in Hashem's hands. It's not, Lo Biyadinu, and the Rashi says that specifically, right? Ein Biyadinu. Let me read it inside. Hold on a second. Rashi said specifically, right? Ela she'in hadavar masur liyadinu. It's not in our hands to do that. Ela liyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's in someone else's hands. It's not in ours. It's in someone's hands. It just happens to not be our hands, right? And then, again, anytime, which I understand the human sentiment behind it, but anytime like a tragedy happens to everybody, to anybody, everybody starts trying to perish it, right? Oh, it's Yisurim Shel Ava, Hashem's only doing this because he loves you. If this bad thing is happening to you, it must be because Hashem loves you so much. Hashem thinks you're so strong, and that's why he's doing it. Right? We do this all the time. We do this all the time where we're like being perish Yisurim Tzadikim to people. It's not right. I don't know. Rabbi Yonah is like, just stay out of it. Stay out of it. It's not in our hands. It's in Hashem's hands. The correlation between who somebody is and what their fate in this world is. We know it's MS, right? That's Rabbi Yonah. We know it's MS. We know it's MS. But it's we don't understand it. We don't understand it. And again, those are like that's the flip side of it. And in the same way, with our own worth, we're Benonim. We assume that Hashem is taking care of everyone else's fate. And it's not in our hands to perish one way or another. Questions, comments, critiques, criticism.